started. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, December 19th, 2018, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. And this week we are in Parshat Vayechi, and we are going to discuss an interesting incident that takes place between Yaakov and Yosef at the beginning of the Parsha, and then we will bring in the rest of the brothers as well towards the end. So, at the beginning of this week's Parsha, and we have the source sheet in front of you, and if you're following along at home, we are in Bereshit Perek Mem Zayin, chapter 47, starting with Pasuk Chavchet, verse 28. Yaakov is about to die, and he knows it, and he calls Yosef. So let's read the Pesukim. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim sheva asrei shana, vayimei Yaakov shnei chayav, sheva shanim varbaim uma'at shana. So Yaakov has now been in Mitzrayim for 17 years. And he is about to die. Vayikruvu me Yisrael lamut, the Torah says, when the time approached for Israel to die, vayikral levno li Yosef, vayomer lo, he says to him, emnam atzadichein beinecha, do me this favor, sim nayadcha tachet yirechi, viasita imadi chesed viamet, do the favor for me, al not tikbereni b'mitrayim, do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down with my fathers, take me up from Egypt, and bury me in the burial place, talking about Marat HaMachpelah. And Yosef says, Yosef replies, I will do as you have spoken. And then the next pasuk is the pasuk we're going to focus on. And so then Yaakov says, He shavali, vayishavalo. So Yaakov says, swear to me, and Yosef swears to him. And then Israel bowed at the head of the bed. All right, so anyone see a question, a problem with Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31?
Yeah, because he asked him already before, do it, and he said, I will.
Right, and then?
So he doesn't believe him.
Ah, right, it's very strange.
Yeah, well,
Yaakov says to Yosef, bury me in Egypt. Yosef says, don't bury me in Egypt. Yosef says, okay.
I will.
And then he says, swear to me. So what's that for? It sounds like he doesn't believe him. Right? He doesn't trust him.
Or he thinks he's too busy.
But whatever it is, whatever the reason is, he sounds like he's not going to do it, that he's not committed to doing it.
What?
Thank you. It sounds like Yaakov thinks that Yosef is not committed to keeping his word when he said Vayomer he shavali vayeshavalo, and all the commentaries jump all over this.
Did it happen before?
At the beginning, and then when it was time approached for Israel to die, they changed his name.
I'm not sure why. That's a good question. Yeah.
Whenever it's first of all, it's bolded.
I bolded it.
Yeah, you did. But.
Not God.
Yeah, I know. But.
Yeah.
When you ask somebody to swear to you, in my opinion, it's like something much stronger, much yoter chazak, yoter, like, I want... Yes, I know that you promised me, but I want to be sure, 100%, no matter what will happen, no matter what trouble you'll have in your way, but promise me that whatever obstacles you'll have to do it, you have to do it.
But still, I think you're onto something. Yeah, I think you're onto something, but still, even the way you explain it, Yaakov is still saying that really, Yosef, I'm not 100% sure that you are going to put all your efforts into this, and so therefore I need you to swear to me.
You cannot lamrot. You cannot lafer.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's very...
Right, but
like
correct,
time,
but
like,
right, yes, but that still means that the first time he said it, he said, "I don't really think that you're going to do everything in your power to do this, so therefore I'm making you swear."
But why it's like a neder?
Yes,
neder,
I understand. But why was it necessary?
Why is it necessary?
I know what a shrua is.
He doesn't believe his kid.
You cannot know what will happen.
Ah, okay, so the question is, okay.
And ulai paro yase ba.
Ah, okay, so that's something else. Excellent. Excellent, Chana.
Yeah,
okay, we'll get there. Good. Okay, yes, Marilyn?
I was just going to say that maybe the powers that be in Egypt wouldn't let him do that.
So okay, but I have a question.
Really want you to.
But I have a question. Let's say you're right, and that Yaakov is worried about Paro. How does a shvua? How does an oath that Yosef takes affect Paro?
No, it does, but it means he's going to really go out of his way to.
So again, all of that assumes that you're all trying to repackage the same thing. Which is, Yaakov is saying, Yosef, there's going to come a time, and I don't think you're going to put all your efforts into it. That's not nice. You're right? Yosef, it may be because, hold on, it may be that Yosef has a good reason, but you're all saying that the purpose of this of the Shavuah, of the oath, is because Yaakov does not think that, let's say Paro says no, Yaakov does not think that Yosef is going to stand up to him. So it's all the same thing. Yaakov doesn't believe that Yosef's going to do it. And that seems to be strange.
Wait,
yeah.
Then the beginning that said Yaakov is going to be in Egypt until they can go back, does Joseph know about that?
It doesn't say that.
Well, you said they went to Egypt and it was the start of the Gula. It was the start of the...
of the exile.
Right?
Right.
So, maybe he knew they're going to eventually leave, and he wanted to make sure that he was going to...
No, he says, don't bury me in Egypt. He doesn't say, take me out when you leave. He says, don't bury me here to begin with.
Is that the same thing?
No. No, you could bury him there now, and then take him out 400 years later.
What?
He says, don't bury me here, period. I don't want to be here at all, even for a minute after I'm dead. Yeah, Zach.
I think it's interesting, too, because... Yosef is a political figure.
Right.
Obviously, everything what he does, something like taking the father and bringing the right to Egypt would have a political implication.
Yeah.
However, swearing is something that's being understood in the context of the Middle East. It means that it would be easy for Yosef to persuade Pharaoh not to have anything against him that he brings his father out.
Okay.
Look,
good.
My father was dying. What else could I do, like, not to promise him?
Right.
And at the human level, it's very understandable.
Okay, good. Excellent. So we put this all together, we get to the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban, which is on page 2, the first source, top of page 2. Hishavali vayishavalo. This is Nachmanides, the Ramban, commenting on this pasuk. And he has the same question we do. You see it by virtue of his commentary. There's an extra source book if you I see you're sharing. That's the one down there. So the Ramban says as follows. Lo haya Yaakov choshed bivno hatzadik. Lo. Hishavali vayishavalo. That's the pasuk. Lo haya Yaakov. Right? That the pasuk is, he's just telling us what he's commenting on. Lo haya Yaakov choshed bivno hatzadik ahuv lo. Yaakov was not suspecting that his righteous beloved son, sheyimareh al mitzvat aviv, sheyimareh al mitzvat aviv v'al hadavar asher hifticho, that he would defy his father's word about which he had already promised. V'yamar anuchi asek kedvarecha, he already said, I will do as you ask. Aval asakein l'chazeka inyan be'enei paro, like Zach said. This was in order to strengthen this in Paro's eyes. Ulai lo yitein lo reshut lihi pared mimenu. Maybe Paro was not going to give Yosef the permission to leave. V'yomer lo shalach et achicha v'yet avdecha v'ya'aluhu sham. Send your father with the brothers or with servants. Or maybe Paro would say, I want Yaakov to be buried here as a way of bring honor to my kingdom. V'lezachot lahen, and to be a merit to them. V'lachein hishbi'o, he made him swear. Kilo yenachon lahaviro al shvuato. It's nothing to do with Yosef. It's not that when Yosef gets some pressure from Paro, that Yosef isn't going to try as hard as he can. That's not what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is saying, like Zach has said, that if Paro will say, you can't go, or you could send your brothers, or I want Yaakov buried here, he'll say, Paro, you can't do this to me. My father asked me to swear an oath, and I swore an oath. Yaakov was thinking ahead of the game. It wasn't that. He knew that if Paro said no, Yosef would say, but I told him I would come. But that's not good enough. I told him I would do it. You need to be able to tell Paro that you swore to me that you would do it, and that's going to have perhaps more of an effect on...
Yeah, more powerful.
Exactly. More powerful. Therefore, Yaakov acquired Yosef, adjured Yosef, so that Paro would feel it was improper to make Yosef violate his oath. Okay? And then, the last part, he says at the end, V'gam Yosef yitzarech yotel eshtadel b'inyam ifnei ha-shvua. Then he says, exactly like Chana said, also, the Shavua maybe would give Yosef, although this is a little negative against Yosef, but the Shavua would give Yosef a little extra kick in the pants, if you will, to carry out the will of his father. V'chein hayah ha-davar. And that's what happened. We're going to see what happened, because we're going to see some psukim in a minute. So, answer to the first question is, leaving out the second part of the Ramban, that there wasn't concern that Yosef wasn't going to try hard. There was concern that Paro may put some obstacles in place, and then Yosef would be able to say to Paro, I understand where you're coming from, Paro, but my father made me swear, you can't make me break a promise, and hopefully Paro would have some sympathy for that position. Yeah.
Rabbi, is it the same Paro?
No.
So it could be the first Paro would have done it easier, but the second, about the one after him.
But he's about to die now.
No, but the next Paro
This is the Paro that Yaakov is worried about. Yaakov's about to die now. This is not the Paro that we talk about in the book of Exodus. There it says, Paro died and a new Paro arose.
No. I'm talking about, this is the same Paro that Joseph worked for.
Presumably.
But if it's a different one.
But I'm saying we don't think it's a different one, because Yaakov is about to die right now, and there's no indication that a time is going to pass that a new Paro is going to come. But, however, your answer is a good one. Your answer is still, it's an interesting one. We don't really know. Maybe Yaakov was concerned. This is a new interpretation of yours, which is wonderful. Maybe Yaakov is concerned. Look, you have a good relationship with the current Paro. Maybe he'll let you go. But I feel like I'm going to die soon, but who knows when a new, you know, with palace intrigue, right? Who knows when a new Paro is going to come? Maybe with the new Paro, he's not going to have such a soft spot in his heart for you, so I want you to swear. Maybe. That's an excellent possibility. It works within the Ramban as well. Excellent possibility. Okay, good. So now, Yaakov dies. Let's see what happens. Let's see the next section of Psukim in chapter 50, middle of page 2. Vayavru yemei bichito, vayedaber Yosef el beit paro lemor, imna matzati chen beinechem, dabru na ba'aznei paro lemor. Yosef goes back to Paro. They're having their mourning period, and then the mourning period ends, and he goes to Paro, and he says, I want to go. Imna matzati chen, if I have found favor, and lay this, please do me a favor, he basically says. Avi hishbiani lemor. And so here, I think we could raise another question, which is, it sounds a little bit like it's still uncertain. Imna matzati chein beinecha. Why does he have to do that? If you have a contract and your contract says you get paid $5 a day, you go to the office, you don't say, oh, if I find favor in your eyes, would you please pay me my salary? I'm here. It's time to pay my salary. He made a promise, right? So it seems Yosef made a promise, but it still seems that he's not really comfortable that Paro is going to let him do it. He's not. It's unclear that he had a conversation with Paro, so my analogy is not really 100%. But it sounds like Yosef is not really sure, and he sounds like he's begging. And he says, I made a promise. Yeah, Eddie.
It's more to me as a respect. Like if someone works for me and they promise their family to do something, you still need to go to your, even though you're going to do it no matter what, you still need as a chain of command, go to your boss and say, I need to go somewhere. I need to do this. Can I take off? Whether I agree or not, he's
good.
Taking off to do it.
Okay. Now let's read on because we'll see in the end why Paro lets him go. First he says, I want to speak to you. Avi hishbiani lemor hinei anuchimet. My father made me swear when he said I'm about to die, be sure to bury me in the grave, which I made ready for myself in the land of Canaan. Now therefore let me go up and bury my father, then I shall return. And so what we see that Yaakov was right, because what happens in the next pasuk? Vayomer paro ale ukvor et avicha kasher hishbi echa. That's why I'm letting you go. I'm letting you go because you swore to your father you would go. Maybe, I think one way to read this is the Ramban is right. Had Yosef said to Paro, hey, listen, my father asked me to bury him in Egypt and I told him I would, Paro may have said, all right, no. But he says, I swore to my father. And he says, oh, go as you swore to your father. And then he goes up and he's allowed to do it.
But then, of course, he takes half the court with him, which is sort of like making sure he was going to come back.
Exactly. This is exactly what they want.
It could be,
Maybe look who all went with him.
It could be for that. It could be out of respect for Yaakov and Yosef. But it could be also, they sent them handlers like the Russian gymnastics team. You want to make sure that no one defects.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just recognized.
Back in the day, when the Olympics were always an opportunity for defection.
You know the interesting angle. If you notice it, when Yosef plea to help him to court people to help him present his case, he said that my father already has a plot for himself. This is very interesting because a whole Egyptian culture, a base that they start to prepare for afterlife practically from the time when they were born. This is where you have all those pyramids. But we want to know about grand structure, but it was very important for Egyptians to have a place to be buried because it's all their concept of afterlife, which is actually an absolutely fascinating story.
Interesting. So you think he's impressed by this? Paro's impressed by this?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because he said, my father already has a place. How could I not to bury him?
Interesting. Right, it's part of the culture. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
As it's written here, he really did not ask permission from Paro. He went el bet Paro lemor, imna matzati chen be'enchem. He didn't say be'enchem.
Oh, that's interesting.
That means for the lower level, he has...
Look at Pasuk Vav. Look at Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Paro.
Paro answered, because they have to ask Paro. He did not go... himself.
Interesting. Could be. Okay. All right. Now let's continue to another set of psukim here because we come up to another difficulty. This is before. Now we're back into the middle of the story. Before Yaakov dies, he gives all the brothers brachot, blessings. And then at the end, Kol Eile Shiftei Yisrael Shnei Masar V'zot Asher Diber Lahem Avihem V'Yivarech Otam Ish Asher Kivirchato Be'erach Otam. Then, Vayitzav otam vayomer aleihem, ani nesaf el ami, kivru oti el avotai, el hama'ara, asher b'stei afron hachiti. So back in chapter 47, he asked Yosef and made Yosef promise. And then in chapter 49, he asks the brothers again to ensure that he's not going to be buried in Egypt. B'ma'arah. And then he gives them specific details here. This is interesting. It's not that I don't want to be in Egypt. I want to go specifically to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, B'ma'arah, Asher B'stei HaMachpelah, Asher Al-Pnei Mamrei, Beretz Kenan, Asher Kana Avraham Et HaSadeh, Me'et Efron Achiti La'chuzat Kaver. Why is he giving them all this detail? He could have just said, the family plot. That's where the Bubbies and the Zadies are. Shama kavru al et Avraham v'et Sarah ishto, shama kavru et Yitzchak v'et Rivka ishto, v'shama kavarti et Leah, mikneh hasadeh v'amarah shirbo. A lot of detail. So two questions. What's all the detail about? Second of all, it's overkill. He already made Yosef swear that he's going to do this. And the Ramban tells us that the purpose of the oath is to make sure that Yosef is going to do it and to make sure that Paro is not going to stand in the way. It sounds again like he doesn't trust that Yosef's going to do it.
No,
because now he wants the brothers. The brothers have no power. It's also the brothers have no power in this situation. They can't make Paro do anything. They're living there on the dole from Paro.
It's a long journey.
Yeah.
You never know what will happen on your journey. So it's not only Yosef.
Right.
But all of you are responsible for me to make sure I'm going back to Israel.
Okay. All right. Excellent. That's what the Ramban says. Excellent. Let's look at the Ramban, the middle section, under his bio. V'amar Rabbi Avraham. Not the Ramban. This is the Ibn Ezra.
Ibn Ezra.
The Ibn Ezra is quoted by the Ramban. This is the Ramban quoting the Ibn Ezra. He says, V'amar Rabbi Avraham, Kitam kivru oti el avotai sheyelchu im Yosef. That's the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban doesn't like it, but the Ibn Ezra is not too shabby. Okay, well done. The Ibn Ezra says that he wants to make sure that they go with him. Then the Ramban says, V'lo haya Yaakov tzarich lakach. Yaakov didn't have to say this. About tziva lekulam ata shikru oto el hamara kasher yishpil Yosef. Ki pachad ulai lo yitain paro v'shut li Yosef latzeit min ha'aretz. Shelo yitakei be'artso, meaning, even if Paro does not let Joseph go, you got to get me out of here.
All right.
That sounds like almost like a clandestine operation, right? He doesn't want Yosef to go. Shelo yitakei be'artso, I don't want to be delayed at all. V'lo tireh shehu tzrach Yosef, and this is why I said what I said before, and after all, we see, at least the way the Ramban reads it, V'lo tireh shehu tzrach Yosef l'chalot p'nei Beit Paro. Yosef had to beg. You're right. Yosef had to beg the royal court. Shivakshu alav mi Paro she'elech. That they would ask, exactly like you said, that they would ask from Paro that he can go. V'u'ana kasher ishbi'acha. In the end, Paro gave in. Ki bavor hashvua yitratzeh bazeh. He was convinced and appeased, if you will, because of the promise. So what we see here is that Yaakov is just, he's covering all of his bases. He makes Yosef swear, but then he makes the brothers promise, or at least tells the brothers, because he's not sure if Yosef is going to be allowed to go. And the Ramban says it was close. It was a close call. The fact that Yosef had to beg Beit Paro, beg the royal court to be able to go, is proof enough for him that Yaakov had good reason to be suspicious. Now, in the end, Paro defies all of the negative expectations, thank you, that Yaakov has. In the end, he lets him go without a fight. But Yaakov wasn't sure of that. So Yaakov covered all his bases. Okay, Zach.
Just a small comment because nobody mentioned it. If you notice it, when Yaakov pleaded to his kids, he mentioned Leah. It's very interesting because Yosef was not Leah's son. It means that just he's very beat. I'm talking about Yaakov. He understood most of his kids came from Leah. By throwing that, it's
right.
Sarah and Abraham, Rivka, and my wife Leah are supposed to be there. And you guys, really, children, most of you.
Right, right. Okay. Very nice.
It's a very interesting that
right.
How he mentioned it.
You know what we call that?
Guilt.
Jewish guilt.
Now we have a source in the Torah for Jewish guilt.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, that's great. Well said. Okay, let's look at the Barbanel. The Barbanel, now, we also asked all the details. Now Zach says the detail of Leah is important because it's sort of a reminder of at least the majority of you have an obligation towards your mother to make sure that I'm there. Excellent. The Barbanel has a different read. This is the bottom of page 3 and continues on the back of page 4. Vayitzav otam vayomer lehem ani ne'asaf el ami, etc. Ad sof ha-seder, until the end of that chapter. This is the Barbanel. Im heyot shekvar tziva Yaakov liyosef akavurato beino leveino. Right? Since or if Yaakov had already commanded Yosef privately between the two of them that he wanted to be buried in Israel. Ra'a ata achare birchotav, now he saw, after the blessings, litzavot aleha et banav kulam, to
aleha?
To
al me and whom?
On the brothers. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. On the brothers. Et banav kulam mi pachado.
Yeah.
Ulai paro lo yitain reshut li Yosef lelot kvurato. Similar to Ibn Ezra, that maybe Paro would not let him go up. Uba avur shehaya ze yud zayin shana sheyardu lemitzrayim. And since 17 years had passed since the brothers left Israel and came to Egypt, the azvu et artzam, they left their land, the et nachalatam, and their inheritance. Pachad Yaakov shema banav lo yadu meinyan hama'ara. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
They forgot, maybe they forget the history. They've been here for 17 years. That's a long time. Maybe they forgot the history. That's why he goes into all the details. He's giving them the family history. V'hamishpat v'hadin shayalo ba. And all the business dealings that Avraham had
to get it.
V'gam pachad v'chashash im hechziku ba ba'aleha rishonim. He's also concerned that these people are going to show up. They haven't been there for who knows how many years.
They're not here. Let's have
and the original owners are going to say, you guys have abandoned this property. Oh, Adam Acher Biyot Yaakov Benav Nistarim Misham, or some other person, a squatter, is going to say, no, it's mine now. You have been absent all this time.
Nobody died.
Right? Acher Biyot Nistarim Misham. No one has even visited. That's why he reminds them all of the legal rights, all of the rights that he has to the place. So that there will be no claim at all against their ownership of the place. But he's not done yet. The Barbanel continues. Pull up a chair. Here we go. You ready? V'im ulai ye'araru haba'alim harishonim o b'nehem. If the original owners or their children are going to make a claim for Marat HaMachpelah, lomar shel aviyah ma'ita, that it's our fathers, right, the original owners, tomru lo asher kana Avraham et asadeh me'et efron achiti. Say, no, remember, you have to go back to your family history. My great-grandfather, Avraham, bought this from your Saba Rabba, whatever.
It's amazing.
The Im Yomru Lizroa Kano Likvura. They say, no, right, you bought it. But we don't want you bringing your dead here. You could plant it. You could make it as a field. We don't want you bringing your dead here. Hare lachem hashtar she'omrim lachuzat kaver. This is fascinating. Apparently, the Abarbanel believes that there was a piece of paper or parchment, right, with not only the parameters of what they bought, but stating that it's a burial plot. Yeah. So you can't stop us. V'chein. Befoal shama kivru et Avram v'yetzara ishto shama kavru et Yitzhak v'yet Rivka v'shama kavru et Leah. Plus, you could say, hey, just dig a few feet down, you'll see that Avram is here and Sarah is here. We've already used this as a burial plot, so don't come tell us that it's not a burial plot. That's why he tells them that everyone's buried there. Hare lachem imkein chazaka v'tana ima. Then you have a chazaka. You have a
tradition.
A chazakah. I can't think of the word, right? A precedent, an ownership of it, right? The imya aru. So that takes care of one group. The group that's going to say, no, it still belongs to us, you'll say, no, Avram brought it. If they say, you can't bury anyone here, but you want to plant a field, you can say, look, here's the shtar that says we could bury people, plus there are people buried here already. But what about B'nai Yishmael? What if your cousins come? Now, what if now he says, what if it's a family dispute? Now, first we took care of a dispute of strangers, the original owners. But what if the cousins come and say, no, it's ours? V'im ya'aru b'nei Yishmael lomar kibala hem hanachala me Avraham avihem. Avraham's his father too. This belongs to us. Tamru ki shama kavru et Yitzchak v'et Rivka ishto v'arei imkein hechazak li Yitzchak ulizaro lo li Yishmael. No. Who's buried here? Yitzchak is buried here.
The family only.
Right? Your father Yishmael, your great-grandfather Yishmael, he's not buried here. The fact that Yitzchak is buried here, your father's brother, proves that this is the Yitzchak line. The Yishmael line gets all the oil. We get...
the sand.
We get Marat HaMachpelah. Okay, so that's how he's going to settle that problem.
Disputed today.
Right. Some things never change. V'im ya'aru b'nei Esav kimidum alazeh. We have another cousin. Esav. Right? We have Esav to worry about. Another family member. Tamru she'shama kavarti et Leah. Uvazeh chazakti b'mara gam she'yakov chatzav b'yamav sham et kivro kidei lachazik ba. Yaakov is going to say, I buried Leah there, meaning my wife, Yaakov, is there. No one from your line is there, Esav. I buried my wife there. Right? Uvazech hazakti b'mara gam she'yakov chatza b'yamav sham et kivro k'dei lachzik ba. And I've also laid out where I'm going to be, as he tells Paro. I have a plot here already. All of a sudden, you're Johnny-come-lately, Esav's family. You have nobody here. That's what you're going to say. Kumosha katab bekivri asher kariti li. He tells to the brothers, bury me in the plot that I have already prepared. V'imzen ifsak hadin keneged kol ha'yechidim she'yochal la'arer. And this is going to be the final decision against anyone who comes to claim against his property. Amnam im yaru am ha'aretz v'yamru. Finally, what if the people just say, okay, it's true, this is yours, it's supposed to be burial, but we don't want a foreign people buried here. Even though someone, the owner, he sold it to you, but he broke the deed restrictions. The deed restrictions were said, no foreign people can be buried here. He broke the rules when he sold it to you. He was a yachid, but if you live in the neighborhood, you can't just, sell your house to, you can't build a cemetery in the middle of the neighborhood. Right? Maybe they're going to say that. L'kach tamru aleyem mikneha sadeva ha-ma'ara asher bo me'et b'nei chet ratzal lamar sheheim hodu b'davar v'kimu b'neihem. If you go back and look at the psukim, the way that our family history, this was in front of everybody. Right? Yeah, Avram was sure to make this purchase in front of the whole town so that no one would be able to say that he was breaking town rules. And if there was some sort of ir'ur, some sort of protest, it should have been done back then when Zaidi bought it. But not now. It's too late now. Right? Ratzolam HaShehem Hoduba Davar, the townspeople agreed, V'kimu b'nehem u'bazeyes talek kol ir'ur. And with this goes away any ir'ur. So now we go back to the psukim that we looked at the end of page 2, Memchet. Now it makes sense. So he goes to the brothers. I bought this. B'mara asher b'zdeh machpelah asher b'nei mamre b'eretz kanan ashken Avraham et hasdem me'et efron achitilach zakaver. And that's why Avram is there. All of these, all the details he puts in to say that these are all the details you're going to need to fight off any future claim against our right to bury Yaakov in Marat HaMachpelah. It's interesting, he doesn't give those details to Yosef.
No, because Yosef knows part of
it. Maybe Yosef knows it. I don't know. It could be. It's just an interesting fact that when he makes Yosef swear, he doesn't give him this whole history and these are all the details when he makes the brothers. And Yosef's been out of Canaan longer than the brothers. Right? He has less of a connection to that place, but he feels he has to give it to the brothers, not to Yosef. In any case, so that answers all of our questions. One, why did Yaakov make Yosef swear? We saw two answers in the Ramban, because maybe it would make Paro easier to convince. Maybe it would give Yosef a little bit of fire, a little kick in the pants, as I said, to do it if he found any type of a hurdle. And then the question, why do you have to make the brothers promise after making Yosef promise? Maybe to make sure the brothers go with him, but even not, assuming the brothers were going to go with him, he wanted the brothers to be armed with the legal arguments that they needed against anyone who was going to claim that it was not theirs. And finally, we see that Yaakov was right in making all these contingency plans, because in the end, even Yosef felt that he had to grovel a little bit to Yosef. Inna matzati chen beinecha, please, if I find favor in your eyes, right? So Yosef wasn't 100% sure that it was going to work either. He promises him, and in the end, Paro explicitly says, I'm letting you go because of the Shvu'ah, because of the oath, which could be read because of the oath. Had Yosef just said, I'll do it, without making an oath, maybe Paro would not have let him do it. Okay? Yosher Kolach, everybody.
Rabbi, I don't understand.
Yeah.